With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Inside Try Show with Helen Murray.
This is the podcast that takes a deeper look at the sport
with in-depth interviews and special episodes
to keep you entertained and inspired while you're training.
Okay, and action.
This is episode 53 of the Inside Try Show, bringing you awesome interviews from triathlon and beyond. I'm Helen Murray, and this week I thought we could all do with a bit of a giggle at the moment. Step forward to very bubbly triathletes, Vicky Holland and Nikki Bartlett. This isn't just a random pairing. These two have actually known each other since they were teenagers. And stick them together, and pretty much you won't get a word in edgeways. It was so much fun recording with them, and I hope that it pops a smile on your face as well. That really is, quite honestly, my main aim of the week. And you're also going to be that sort of like fly on the wall, because we just carried on chatting. Well done to Katrina Matthews for becoming Ironman Florida champion, and with a course record to boot, just epic. So yeah, Kat, well done. And I know that Ruth Assel got her Kona slot as well with her fourth place finish. I'm hoping, maybe, probably, hopefully, to catch up with them at some point while they are over in the States together. Thomas Weber, thank you very much for signing up to be a Vino buddy over on Patreon, or Patron. You are a patron at Patreon. So yeah, if you like what I do and you want to support the show as well, then that would be amazing. I'd be very, very grateful. It's patreon.com/InsideTryShow. And I know Thomas has supported me for a while, actually, because he's a big fan of Fueled by More Cake and loves a good bit of cake. And I think did a run recently with his daughter had made a load of cake at the end of it. And he's a big fan of the chocolate orange brownies. That always makes me smile. Also, supporters of the show, 33fuel.com, which is natural and very yummy sports nutrition, are giving you the chance to win 3 months' supply of award-winning 33 Fuel Ultimate Daily Greens. You just have to enter the draw by clicking on a link which is in the show notes. And as always, you can use the code INSIDETRY33 for a discount at checkout at 33fuel.com.
Time for this week's interview.
So Vicky Holland has recently been announced in Team GB's triathlon team for the Olympics next year. Nikki Bartlett has been given a private invitation to the upcoming Challenge Daytona. These two have known each other since they were teenagers. They can talk for Great Britain. We talk about all those things, including the talking thing. We speak about the art of being patient. We speak about social media, 2020 in general, which has seen Nikki do a lot of running dressed as Spider-Man. Yes, to help people smile. We also talk about Challenge Daytona, which is a massive triathlon taking place in Florida at the start of December. It's being put on by the Professional Triathletes Organization with a stacked field and a huge prize purse as well. And every athlete competing is going to go home basically with a paycheck. It's bringing together short and long course athletes, and they're going to be racing in a COVID secure environment. It also means, unlike a normal triathlon, it will be taking place on a very compact course. So it might get a little bit confusing trying to follow the bike course. Anyway, that is one hell of a long introduction to go with, well, one heck of quite a long interview. Nikki Bartlett, Vicky Holland, welcome to the Inside Tri Show. This is a little bit exciting. I don't know if I'm going to get a word in edgeways, but we're going to give it a crack. You guys have known each other for quite a while, right? When did you first meet? Nikki, you go first.
Oh, no. Like, ages ago, like...
What? Oh, answer, Nikki. Come on.
11?
No! It was when I started running at Cheltenham Harriers, and I started running there when I was... I think I was 15, but then you would have been 14 because you're younger than me.
Yeah, well, around about there, where Vicky was serious on the track. And I was not so serious.
It's so funny. So we were in the same training group, even though Nikki was at the time a 400 meter runner, which is hilarious now, by the way. Nikki, who started off as a 400 meter runner, then went on to become a rower, and then went on to like essentially ultra endurance sport. And it's just mad. And I was the crazy one doing like the middle distance reps. So I was an 800, 1500 meter runner. So we sort of warm up together, talk a ton, yeah. You can imagine. And then I'd go off and do like crazy track workout, and Nikki would be doing her like sprints, and then we'd warm down together and chat again.
It was literally like my session would be like 4 120 meters,
and I'd do 8 by a K.
Yeah, which I'm now doing more of that.
Yeah. Isn't it so funny? We're talking about almost pretty close to 20 years now. And at the time, you were the speed athlete and I was the endurance athlete. And then I obviously went into more endurance, but you just leapfrogged me.
Well, it's funny, actually, because my first triathlon, this was when you and Darren's squad, and we used to pen pal.
She used to send me letters. I got mail to Arizona. I got mail to Australia, to Davos. It was brilliant. I loved it. I think pen paling's underrated. I think we should do more.
I'm with you on that one.
That's so cool.
You know, and I can remember saying to you, oh, I'm going to do a triathlon inspired by you.
And I was like, I don't think you're made for it, Nick.
You're like, I don't think so. I thought you can't swim. No, I can't.
And at the time, I think you might have not been able to run properly either. Had you injured yourself?
Yeah, I was injured.
And you wanted to go straight in and do a full Ironman. And I remember having to be like, Nikki, take a step back and maybe just enter a triathlon, but like a short one.
I didn't have a bike either.
No. Didn't I lend you a wetsuit as well?
Yeah, no, you were like, oh, I'm going to ship you my wetsuit. And I was like, amazing. And I have to give you the photo, Helen, after this, because she didn't ship me a pair of goggles. And then I was like, goggles to buy. I can't remember which ones I bought. They were like...
Like a scuba mask.
Yeah. It's a scuba mask.
Oh, my God. You were just absolutely mental. And I seem to remember it took you forever to do the swim. And then you just got on the bike and started absolutely pounding it.
On my borrowed bike.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I remember about the swim and I was like, oh, my God, that took ages. It seemed like an hour and a half.
So, Nikki, did you always like? Have you always followed Vicky's career?
Yeah, like Liz, I can remember when I was taking up rowing, and Vicky was just starting triathlon. I was on a bed at university, and we were on the phone. And Vicky's like, oh, "I'm doing this triathlon." I was like, "What the hell is triathlon?" And I was like, "I just started rowing." She's like, "What?"
But let's be honest, when we knew each other as teenagers. When I was 18, the summer I was 18, the summer when I did my final year of like schools athletics stuff, which is like really big, like English schools athletics is probably bigger than like national clubs athletics. Like it's huge. Yeah. It was the same summer that Kelly Holmes won the double. And so for me, that's where I thought I was going. That was my inspiration. That was the channel I wanted to follow. And you obviously, Nick, you were just such a more powerful athlete than me, that like, to think that we both ended up going into, I mean, rowing is an endurance sport. It's like brutal. That you were going from being a 60-second 400 meter runner into rowing for however many minutes at like full on lactic central. And that I was then going from being a 4 and a bit minute 1500 runner to trying to race triathlons for 2 hours. Like, it was like, what are we doing? Why have we done this?
Complete life switch.
Yeah.
Nikki, did you have a sort of Kelly Holmes moment?
No.
Yeah, hers was called Vicky Holland.
Yeah. It was like, there was a group, it's like Vicky, James Brewer, and they were just like the superstars of the track. Like, you moved out of the way of name one. Because they're like ones who are going places. But Vicky was just like always on it, and then like had often swam that morning, like really serious person.
Well, what I used to do, and I was thinking about this just the other day, because I don't know how I actually made it through my teenage years without dying. I used to swim at least 3 mornings a week, and that would normally mean like 4:45, 5 a.m. wake ups, go and swim. Then my mum would take me to school. I'd then do a full day at school. Then I'd go to swimming again. And so swim like an hour and a half of maybe a 2 hour session, get out because my swimming club was in Gloucester, my running club was in Cheltenham, and they're about 20 minutes away, drive over to Cheltenham, get on the track and do like a 90 minute, 2 hour track session. So I finished that at like 9:30, because we didn't even meet until like 7 or 7:30 in the evening, did we?
Yeah.
And then I'd get home, and it's half an hour home for me. So I get home at close to 10 o'clock, having been up at 5 or earlier, and like then have to go again the next day. When did I eat? When did I do any homework? When did I sleep? Like, I think it would genuinely kill me now. I don't think I could do it.
I know, that's so hardcore. That's why I missed my trick. I should have gone swimming with you then.
we would have done so much talking.
I know. It would be good that I wasn't a serious runner and in your group, so that you could actually train. And meanwhile, I was just doing my 4 120 meters max out with 8 to 10 minute recovery.
I bet you're glad you did those now. They're so important in your Ironman career.
Oh, so important.
Vicky, did you always know that you wanted to go into elite sport? Like, you wanted to go to the Olympics and that was your kind of goal? Whereas Nikki, you were going to be a teacher, weren't you?
I had no idea what I was doing.
Knowing Nikki at that age, I will tell you that she didn't know what she was doing. Nikki, you were sort of a rebel, weren't you?
I was really naughty.
You were a naughty kid.
Just drunk all the time.
Honestly, Nick, we went out in Cheltenham together once or twice, didn't we? And you were like showing me the way, like leading me astray.
I'm surprised the coaches went like, Nikki, you're not allowed to have anything to do with Vicky. So, like, we do a track session Tuesday night and I was still hungover from, like, Monday going out.
So, basically, Nikki didn't know what she was doing. I think, for me, the Olympics has always been and still is the driving force in my whole athletic career, definitely. But that said, I don't think I knew that you could be an elite sports person and that be your job. I never understood that. Growing up, I just thought, I want to be really good at sport. I want to do sport, but I didn't know that. And I wanted to go to the Olympics and I wanted to succeed and all of that. But I just assumed that was something you did alongside your day job. I guess I didn't realize that there was another path. And it wasn't until I was at university, and that was when I did start doing triathlon, that some of the lads, I remember it being Will Clark, used to always talk about living the dream. This is living the dream, and living the dream being this whole idea that you can live off your sport, that you can make enough money, that you can be good enough, that you don't have to have another job, you don't have to have another sideline to make money. And that was the first time. So I would have been like 18, 19 when I realized that actually, if you get good enough, you can do this, like that's like your life. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up sort of falling into it and just trying to get good enough that I could actually not have to go to work.
And there she is going to her third Olympic Games.
I know, isn't that mad?
I knew it. I knew this is where Vicky was going.
Did you?
In running, I thought, obviously. Oh, yeah. You just knew, like, back then, 100%. Yeah. The dedication.
Oh, Nick.
That's all right. There you go.
Vicky,
serious part.
I'm in here, guys.
We're going to pick up on the third Olympics. Yeah, Vicky, that is pretty pretty insane, especially at a sport like triathlon.
Yeah, it's kind of mad. In a lot of sports, if you make your first Olympics at 26, you don't think you're going to do three. Like, that's probably not normal, but triathlon as an endurance sport does seem to cater almost for the older athlete, and especially the females. I mean, if you just look at the stats from Rio, all three medalists were in their 30s. And even like going further back than that, a lot of the people who've been more successful in triathlon have been that little bit older. So triathlon is probably one of the only sports anyway that lends itself to being a bit older. And I train in Bath now, and so we have one of the British swimming setups here, and it's so funny because I'm coming up double the age of some of them. The intake of the youngsters here now, they're all born in like 2002. I'm like, mate, I was taking my GCSEs then. It's not going to be long before the ones who come here are going to have been like born the year I was at uni. So I'm going to have been starting uni before they were even born, kind of thing. And it is mad that I'm in a sport that just means that I've been afforded this longevity and the fact that it's okay that I didn't make an Olympics till I was 26.
I always tell people about your blog you wrote, actually, when people get really impatient with progression. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know if that blog's available, but you wrote it, I think, on your 30th or around your 30th birthday.
That'd be about right, yeah.
You described, like, you know, I've been international runner from I was, I don't know, like 14? I don't know, young.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
And you know, you swam competitively. And it's taken me, I think, were you 28 when you got your, at Commonwealth Games, when you got your first major?
Yeah.
It's taken me all that time.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, boom.
Yeah, and it's like people talk about the sensations, right? The overnight sensation, the youth superstar, the prodigies, all of that. And that's what you want. That's what every kid, teenager, grown up wants to be. They want to be a superstar that's known at 18 as the next best thing and all the rest of it. But that's actually not really the reality of it. And it, honestly, in triathlon, it doesn't often end up working out very well. If you are really, really good when you're really young and you're on this trajectory to stardom, it rarely kind of pans out that way. And for me, I did go through, having had these years where I was very successful as a runner, especially, and also kind of as a swimmer when I was in my teenage years, I then went to uni and I really wasn't that successful. And when I first started triathlon, I really wasn't that good at it. And it took me quite a long time to kind of get the hang of it and to start getting good at it. And some of that was the fact that I was living a very much student life. And I don't regret that. I think that was a big part of me being who I am now, and living that at that time in my life has enabled me to be so much more focused at this point in my life. But yeah, it took me a while to get there. And actually, I think I've probably been better off for it.
And Nikki, do you feel some similarities there in terms of what you've done from going from rowing and then into what you're doing now? And again, getting that almost like that first win, it took its time, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I am such a slow progressor in anything. yeah, it's going to take its time. Like, I learned to swim when I was 25 years old. So it's going to take
it. For anyone listening, that is not recommended. I mean, don't get doable. It is doable. Nikki has proven, and there are other people. Jan Frodeno didn't learn until he was mid-teens or something, which again, for like swimming, is quite late. And he's a brilliant swimmer. Yeah. So,
but there's probably only so far I'll be able to take my swimming. Like, I'd never ever be able to get to Lauren Brandon's Lucy Charles kind of level.
Most of us can't either. I was six.
It's just mad. So yeah, it was always going to take me ages. But yeah, I was like a pro for what, 4 years before I got my first win. Like, it takes ages. Like, and you know, it was getting to the point where people were like, Nikki, it's going to be now. But I was having that for like 2 years. And I was like,
and that puts more pressure on as well, because then it's almost like it's hanging over you and you're like waiting to win something.
I know. And I was coming close, like, you know, under a minute. And yes, it does take absolutely ages, but it's worth it. Totally worth it.
I love that. And Vicky, what's it been like for you this year, having had the original goal of 2020, Olympics, Tokyo, yada, 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 and then suddenly March is like, no, that is wiped out?
It's been a really weird year. And it's so hard almost to describe it still, because it's I know this year has been absolutely bonkers, upside down, mental for everybody, really, no matter what walk of life you're in. No one's been completely unaffected by this. And I think my original feelings when the announcement happened that we were having a lockdown here back in March. I'd only been back from Australia for about 5 days at the time, was kind of relief, because I was beginning to get really stressed about how I was supposed to train properly. The pools had closed on the Friday before. Then on the Monday, the announcement was made about the lockdown. And I was like, okay, well, at least I don't have to worry about how I'm going to train. I think the lockdown announcement was the Monday. The Olympic announcement was the Tuesday. So it took that pressure off. But at the same time, I was absolutely gutted, because I was actually selected into the Olympic team at the back end of 2019. That information was embargoed until the middle of this year. Then obviously that got pushed back and pushed back for fairly obvious reasons. But I knew I had that focus of the Olympics. And I am someone who I'm towards the end of my career now, and I'm driven by the Olympic Games more than anything else. I always have been, but I'm very much in the mindset of one more Olympics, and that might well be me done. I'm not making those major decisions yet, but I am kind of leaning towards that. And I had this focus of Tokyo, and we did this mega block of training over the off season, my best ever winter out in Australia. And I raced well. I went to Malulabar World Cup, and having had, frankly, a disappointing 2019, I stepped up and raced really well. And it was sort of really rewarding. And I was full of motivation and promise of what was coming, and that I was entering the last 4 month build up to the Olympics feeling really, really positive about it. On top of that is the fact that we had a big wedding planned for this year, planning a big honeymoon following the big wedding. We were actually going to go out and watch Taupo, because obviously we can't ever be away from triathlon for too long. And more importantly, Rhys, my now husband, coaches an athlete who was going to be there, Indy. We were from there going to go off for like 2-3 weeks, just go around New Zealand. So we had like a fairly epic year planned of train, Olympics, wedding, epic honeymoon, not having to stress about getting back into training in any real time. Like, it was all planned. And all those plans just got completely wiped. And throughout the year, we obviously had to monitor whether we thought we could get married or not. And actually, as it happened, we decided at the beginning of September, our chances of our planned wedding were gone. So we decided we had to make a decision. Did we definitely want to get married this year? We decided we did, even with the circumstances. And we ended up organizing something completely different and on a different date. As it happened, that date was 3 weeks earlier than planned, which means we were one of the few weddings that happened like a week before we got locked down again. We did get married, and then we went on a honeymoon for 3 days to Devon, which was wonderful. I mean, I'm being sarcastic. It actually was really nice, but it wasn't quite the honeymoon we had planned. But my point here is that our whole year just got completely turned upside down. And I felt like I got to March feeling like I've cracked this. I've done a mega winter. I'm super fit. We've made improvements in the areas that I knew I needed to make improvements in and that I got a bit shown up in last year. We've addressed those. Here we go. One last Olympics. Bam, let's hit this. To now being like, I've got to do it again. And I've got to do it again, but in harder circumstances. Because this year, it's not like we can go to Australia and just escape. We're not even allowed into Australia right now. And even going anywhere, there's an issue with pool access and that kind of thing. So we're sort of staring down the barrel of a winter in the UK, which, as much as there are benefits to that, being home is always nice, it's going to be hard. And so that I would be lying if I said that I haven't found that a little bit stressful to sort of get my head around, you know.
Does it almost add to a bit of nervousness then heading into what's now going to be Tokyo 2021, like almost like an added level of stress that might not have been there otherwise?
Yeah, I think it has done, but I do feel like we're still quite a long way away, and all this stuff we're probably just going to get used to. You know, there's probably going to, at the moment it feels, even today we had our new swim times that we've only had for the last 4 or 5 weeks have been changed again. And so there's things like that that keep just like happening. But I think we will just get so good at rolling with the punches, because you've got no other choice. And if the Olympics are going to happen, and at the moment, all the messaging that's coming out from the IOC, from the local organizing committee over there, is that it's really positive. So if we have to take it at face value that it's going to happen, then that is a driving force in itself. That is a case of, okay, it's miserable weather, but I've got work to do. I've got to get on with it. And I think, I hope that will take over even in the times when it might be a bit miserable and I might not want to do it.
And Nikki, how many Ironmans have you trained for this year now?
I think we're on three. But one of those was like really initial days. So like we were, I think, 3 days away from like traveling to Ironman South Africa. And then that's when all of this went down. And then I took a massive step back and I was like, right, I don't think race can happen. And then I think it was something like 8 weeks before it was looking likely that Embry Man would be on. But all the ones which have been cancelled just been so close yet so far, because like I think it was something like if it was 2 weeks before it would have happened.
Yeah.
And then the same with Portugal, like they were running events out of Portugal in the same site. I think it was Paratri one there, you know, 2 weeks before it got cancelled. And it's like, oh, it's been so close. So yeah, three.
And how have you dealt with those sort of blows?
Positively okay, to be honest. I've just seen it as I'm in the UK, I'm going to now just train because the more consistent training I can get, the better. And I just had basically, I think I look back on my training peaks, I've had one red in my training peaks all year. So I've had like the biggest consistent build all year. So I'm hoping, I would have loved to have shown my fitness this year, but hopefully it will just keep building for next year. I'm in a much better fitness place. And even in swimming, I'm in a much better swimming place, bike and run now going into next year. So even if I have to finish the season on not a lot, I can take confidence in just what I've developed in myself this year, because I haven't got an awful lot of triathlon experience behind me.
That's awesome. And what about Daytona? Fill us in on Daytona. So just explain to people who might not be fully aware of exactly what it is. Fill us in.
Okay, I'll try and do it in a short story. So
good luck with that.
It's, I think, 100K in total. So it's like 2K swim. I think it's 80K bike, which for me is great. If they could shorten it a bit more, that'd be even better. And I think, I don't actually know if it's an 18K or a 20K run. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting. They've helped us with all kind of like government visas and stuff for getting over. We've got all that checked and clarified, but then it's just getting there. Like yesterday we had our flights cancelled. Just like, oh God, now we've got to find a new flight. So yeah, the PTO have done an absolutely amazing job. Like there's over $1 million prize purse. They've made it now so that if you've come outside the top 20, you're going to go away with $2,500 US so that you won't be losing any money, which is fantastic. And yeah, they brought loads of short course and long course athletes to go, which would be really exciting.
How does it compare to, say, a race like the Ironman World Championships in Kona, like the prospect of it with all of these short course athletes as well?
I think it's going to be amazing, especially because there's a 20 meter draft rule as well. If it was a 12 meter, I probably wouldn't go. But now there's 20, for me, that's great. So I hope that's policed really well, because if it is, then I hope to show a bit of fitness on the course. But
as a quick question from me, Nick, this 20 meter draft rule, though, given that it's obviously the course in Daytona, because it's COVID secure, it's on the race circuit,
yeah.
It's only 4K round. Are you going to run into problems with, like, if everyone has to be at 20 meters or more, and then, like, what happens when you start, like, there's going to be lapping, surely.
I know, it's going to be crazy, because say it's like 5 minute lap, we have worked out.
See, I've seen stats like this, that especially on the men's side, if they're going X pace, then it's going to be 5 minutes 20 for like a whole lap, and that could be the difference of like someone in the water.
Well, I know, like, I'm hoping not to be that back from the front.
That's a good target for you, Nick.
If not, I'm going to have to, like, go to a whole new level of wattage. It's not really going to be a pace line, but say there's a pace line of...
How do you get around that? Like, how do you get around it?
I'm having to train for that at the moment. Like, actually specifically train for that. Because I can go past one person, then I'm going to have to keep... You can't just cut in.
You can't cut into the line, right? I was having this exact conversation with Indy. As you know, Indy's going to be racing in Daytona as well. And she was the one who was telling me again about your flights being cancelled, because you all booked on the same flight, weren't you? Yeah. And we were having this exact discussion about how do you budget for the fact that there could be quite a few people who are relatively similar, especially coming out of the water. And then you're in a pace line of maybe 10, 15 people, but you're all at 20 meter intervals. You're not going around all those people, surely. Or if you are, you can do, but it's a significant effort.
I know. And you kind of need to gauge how much you can spike as well. Yeah. Like, so say, for instance, on a Thursday night, we do this chopper TT thing. Great, loads of fun. But there's, it's, so if I've done, so say yesterday, I think I averaged like 280 watts, which if I just did as a 280 watts, 40 minute ride, that's fine. That wouldn't take too much out of me. That's pretty standard. But the fact that you're just spiking the whole time because you're just doing it is a, okay, I'm going on
for my racing.
Yeah. So like you're racing, like how much can you go into that zone?
Yeah, we look at it as almost like bullets. How many bullets have you got? And if you spend them all, then you're done.
Yeah, basically. And how long? So say if I'm trying to overtake, because I think we are going to be coming out in groups of, I can't even keep up.
I think Lucy will still be first out. I think what would have been really interesting and what I was dying to see was Lucy versus Jess in the swim. Because I think because of their background and the way they both swim, I actually think they would have been similar. But yeah, like I think you're right. I think there could be like a pack there that's maybe even got 10 people in it.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to be the next pack, which I might have 20 people in. That pack I'm coming out with will be pretty huge. So then, Well, I am just going to go off because I'm just going to basically did what I did at Outlaw because I came out and I just took forever in transition because I needed to put my gloves on with my heater pads in. I cannot wait for it this race, that not have to put like heater pads in my shoes and in my gloves. And like, if I did not have that, there was no way I was making it to the end of that race. But even then, I'm like racing, so I'm like, yeah, cracking swim, coming to transition. Okay, I see Fenella's there, Kat's there. Okay, hang on, guys, just got to put my gloves on.
I did a race similar to that in Edmonton where it was like 4 degrees and it was the worst race I've ever done. It's ridiculous because I talk about this race and I won the race, but I don't talk about it in those contexts. Like that's almost like a complete aside.
Yeah.
The race was bonkers and there were people literally layering things on. I remember we actually raced there 2 years in a row where the weather was really bad. And the second year round, I remember Non putting marigolds on the bike. Riding and trying to ride no hands and put marigolds on and everyone else in the pack's like what is she doing, but she's like, mate, I was here last year, it was freezing, I put my marigolds on.
Yeah, of course you can DNF. Like honestly at Helvellyn when we're caught up Indy on the bike, I literally just moaned. I was like, I am so cold, I can't function, I can't push, like I literally could not push properly. I was like, I can't concentrate on being anything but how cold I am right now.
It sounded like Helvellyn was much more of an experience than a race. The debriefing I've had from it anyway. I think Indy did mention that there was some counselling of Lucy that she had to do because Lucy's petrified of heights. And I'm part of the run course because it's so like rock facey and like a bit, you know,
mountainous.
Lucy was having a bit of a moment. And so Indy came up to her and essentially had to counsel her through. Like get her back running again. I'm like, this is a race like no other.
I basically power walked up and then free fell back down, but I'm not a foul runner, so I just had brakes on, like my heels were like smashing into the floor, and I got to the end of the race, everyone's like, why are you not tired? I was like, because I haven't really ran.
Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Vicky, have you, like, I don't know, was Daytona ever on your radar or were you not invited or quite what?
I'd love to get Daytona.
Okay, no. So I am a short course athlete through and through, to be honest with you. I know what my strengths are. I know what my weaknesses are. One of my strengths as an athlete is the exact stuff Nikki was just talking about with the spikes. I've always been someone who can deal with the spikes very, very well. I'm not very good at flatlining. I'm not, and to be honest, I've never really trained it because that's not what ITU racing is. And so for me, I think it would take a long time for me to work on that and to bring my power up to a level where I can just sustain the whole time. I'm not very good at that, but I am quite good at the spikes and the peaks and recovering from those. So 70.3 has never been something or I'm that's really inspired me. Don't get me wrong. I think the guys who do it, you guys are inspirational. You're mental, but you're inspirational. And I love following it. I do follow it. I am, for everything else, I'm a triathlon fan. And so I follow the racing and I know what most people are up to. And I do. I love keeping up with it. But, you know, Kona week every year is the only week of the year where I actually think, maybe I could have a go, do you think I could and then that quickly subsides and I'm like,
no, everyone on the radio is like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, it's not for me. Like, I'm just not a diesel. I'm just not a diesel engine. Like, it's not really me. And I've worked really hard to be at the point where actually I can be diesel enough to do what I do. So it's just, I don't think I'm suited to it, and it's not something that I've ever really thought is in my career path. That said, I did get asked if I wanted a wild card, to which I very, very politely declined. I did offer my services as a commentator. I was like, I'll take a trip to Daytona and chat about triathlon. That sounds awesome. But understandably, given the current restrictions around the world, they said they were using a team based purely in the States. And I mean, obviously, I'm a bit disappointed, but I can understand why.
Nikki, as a predominantly long course athlete, what is your sort of perception of the short course athletes?
Okay, my biased opinion is that it's not too dissimilar in training. Like, we do a lot of the same stuff. Like, I do a hell of a lot of speed work, which I know some athletes in long distance are a bit ploddy. But majority of long distance athletes will do a hell of a lot of speed work. And you kind of can see why you need to, because you can see the short course guys moving up to 70.3 and how well they transition to that. Speed work is something I'm like, when people are like, oh, this is what I do in training, I'm like, God, there's just no intensity in there. What are you doing? But it's just like, there's so much short course athletes can generate over to the long course. And you can see, you know, you can see how Jan Frodeno's transferred right across, Gomez and Alistair. And I think it's great if there's more integration we can do in races like this PTO event, because it just brings a bit more of excitement to it. It works on both parts. Like, yeah, like, I'm going to come out of the water. Hopefully they haven't done a lap. if they have, I'll stay in transition.
is there a lapping out rule?
No.
I was going to say, because that would be tight given the course. Like, that would be harsh.
Adding a Super League element there, that would be add a twist.
Yeah.
But like you said, though, there will be athletes coming out of the water way back from me who will be a whole lap behind. They need to have someone who's like on the ball on commentary. Yeah.
And who's in charge of counting the laps? Is it you, or do they tell you? Like,
That's why I need to know how far we're definitely going, because then I'll just put the distance on my Garmin, because there's no way I can't even count like 150 meters in the pool. Like, we did 31s in the pool yesterday and I could not remember what rep I was on, so then I had to go back a rep because I'm like, well, I can't not do the 30.
Yeah, you always do extra just in case.
Yeah, and obviously because at the moment you have to be at one end of the pool, and
yeah, you can't have more than one person at the end of the pool. Today we had two different sessions going on because the guys who are going to Daytona are doing more of a thresholdy swim. And then we've only just really started training again. So we're doing more just a bit of lactate stuff. So we had two different sessions. We have two lanes, two different sessions, and then different ends of both lanes.
That's literally what I was about. Because Tim Don swims with us and Tom Davis is going, and he's now Dave's training guide. So we're on a completely different swim program to everyone else in the squad. Yeah.
It's one thing as a coach running these different sessions within a session, but it's a completely other thing when you've got all the swimmers have to be at least 2 meters apart, and no one's allowed to be at the end of the pool together. and you can't have, basically to almost like protect me just in case anyone comes too close and I ended up getting put into isolation if one of those gets, you know, coronavirus. No one's allowed to swim at the same end as me. So I'm always on my own at one end, like, hi,
Billy.
It's just me here on my own.
I don't even know how we came onto that topic. Sorry.
Right, fine.
What's long course athletes? What's Vicky's take?
I know, I agree with you, Nick, in terms of what you said about there's actually not that much different. Like, as you said, you do a lot of speed work. Conversely, I do a hell of a lot of volume. A normal big training week for me, or a normal full volume training week, is over 30 hours.
I'm in key training now and I'm at 24, 25. So yeah,
I can't get away with that. You see, this is what I mean. I have to work really hard to become an endurance athlete. If I do 24, 25 hours a week, I'm really average. And I've decided I don't want to be average. So I had no choice but to do more. And unfortunately, it is something that we've just discovered works for me. If I just do the volume, it works. So yeah, no, long course athletes, I think you have to have a very special mindset to do long course, because it's so individual, because it's so you versus yourself. Yes, you're in a race, but because you're not allowed to draft, there's no real kind of, there's no pack element to it, other than maybe making sure you don't go into someone's draft zone and working out when the right time might be to try and pass them and not miss a move, that kind of thing. It's very different, and you could spend a lot of time, and a lot of the races where maybe there's not as stacked a field, so there's not that many of you, you spend a lot of time in your own head. Just sort of head down, look at your watts, keep doing what you're doing. And I don't think I've got the attention span for it, for a start. I mean, I don't know how the hell you have, Nikki. Seriously. You lot just go off as in a little space cadet world in an Iron Man. I've got no idea.
I don't even know what I think about. But there's sometimes I'm like, I haven't seen anyone for like 2 hours.
Yeah. And I just think the ability to just be able to grind it out over 8-9 hours is really special. And it's, I don't know whether I could do it, but it doesn't inspire me to do it. I love watching other people do it. I think it's amazing, but yes, not for me.
I've got a bit of a silly question, but I think you'll both like it. What's your FTB?
Oh, what's that? An hour? Is that the hour or 20 minutes? Because that's why I get confused.
What's an FTB?
Favourite tea time biscuit.
Oh! I've said FTP.
Yeah, I knew that's what you were thinking. Nikki was about to divulge all her bloody power details.
Hang on a second, what's the difference?
I'll go first because I actually do know. I like a Fox's chocolate cookie type. What, I don't know what they're called. Do you know what I mean? They're half chocolate on one side and then they're like a cookie on the other side. They're like high end, don't get me wrong. You can't have too many of them. But I do really like those. And if I'm going for a bit more of a budget option, and me and Reese do term it as this, when one of us makes the teas and we're like, do you want biscuits? They're like, yeah. And you say, okay, well, what do you want? And they say one from the premium end or one from the budget end. The budget end is the ginger nuts, because they're very good for dunking. Super dunking biscuits. It's my opinion.
I like that.
I'll be talking of chocolate, like 100%. We used to go through loads of custard creams, but like Titch is obsessed with custard creams.
That's a dog.
Yeah, that's a dog.
Sorry, that's a dog, not me. But yeah, she'd like get psycho over them, and like you just keep giving them and she just eats and eats them. And like my parents call it the custard cream diet, because like literally she just will eat a packet. So we can't have them.
We don't have custard creams. We do have crunch creams. Quite like those as well.
Yeah,
but they in the middle. Vicky.
Yeah, they're a medium range biscuit. Yeah.
Okay, and then to sort of like wrap up, finish off, because I know that respective partners have actually got a meeting.
And we're sat in their offices.
They're on the meeting. I can hear Bex's monotone voice.
Oh. Well, there we go. We can carry on.
We can
guys.
Carry on then. Amazing. Okay, so this doesn't relate to the other questions, and then we will carry on a bit, but the one thing I did want to ask was, so you know before, Vicky, you were saying and you've written about almost like that, have a dream and chase it. Basically, we want some positive words. If someone's thinking, oh, I can't do that, actually you tell them why they blooming can't.
I feel like I should have prepared for this.
Come on, Vix, I want to hear all these wise words.
I feel properly on the spot now. The biggest thing I would say if I was giving advice to people is that you've got to be patient. Things don't happen overnight, and anything that does happen overnight isn't worth it. The long grind is actually what makes the journey worthwhile. And if you can enjoy the journey, then it doesn't matter about where you end up, but inevitably you probably will end up somewhere pretty special. And for me, it's one of the things I'm the most proud of my whole career, is that I rode the wave of not really being very good for a period of time, and then having injuries, and then changing training locations and trying to sort of find my little place in this world. And I ended up being successful from kind of my late 20s onwards. And I think that's something. It's not a sexy story, is it? It's not like selling it to the kids, like, keep trying and in 12 years you're gonna be successful. Like, it's not the sort of thing people want to hear. But actually, if you can make it fun and try and enjoy it every day and just be thankful for the lifestyle that especially our sport can give you, then you can go a really long way.
And it's definitely like those words need to be said more than ever now, because like, we don't, like, just because it's changing to a new year, like,
yeah,
you know, this but it's not going to go away anytime soon. Challenges into next year.
Yeah. And I sort of made a bit of a point of, when our Olympic announcement was just a couple of days ago, when I sort of put something about it on my social feeds, I wanted to make a bit of a point that right now I'm really lucky, because I'm deemed elite, I can still train. But there are so many, especially youngsters, who've had their whole world almost turned upside down. Firstly, all the whole schools, and they weren't in school most of the year. Then on top of that, all their clubs and sports activities have been cut, and then now they're being cut again. I think my point to them, and what I wrote about online, was this is a really tough time right now, but don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can. Because you can still get outside, you can still go for a run, you can still get that bike out the shed or whatever it is. And this is going to pass, and time is on their side, like it really is. And especially in an endurance sport, it doesn't have to be right now. There is so much time on your side. And just if you can keep the little fire inside you burning, just keep those dreams bright, then actually you've got enough time to make it happen for you when the time is right.
Yeah. Is that blog still available anywhere?
I'll be honest, Nikki, you sort of put me on the spot there. I don't really know. I don't actually know if my website still works. If anyone wants to check it out, it was once upon a time at VickyHolland.com, or maybe even VickyHolland.co.uk. I think I own that one as well. So check it out, and there might be a blog on there.
On Vicky's Twitter, right back to when she was 30. How many years ago now? Four.
Yeah. I remember for a period of time when I was relatively newly sort of professional as an athlete, you had to write blogs. You would finish your race and it was like expected, especially for like your sponsors, you write a blog.
Yeah.
You have a website, you write a blog. And so I used to do it all the time. And then now, who writes blogs anymore?
I don't know. Like, I'm exactly the same. I used to write a blog within 24 hours, pull it up.
Yeah. And if I hadn't written one, I would be getting moaned at, Vicky, why haven't you put a blog online and that kind of thing? And then now it's like, oh, I'll just put up an Instagram post.
Yeah. It's just
what most of them do is a YouTube video, but I am not in the YouTube world. So
I'd love to go YouTube one day, but
it seems like a lot of work.
I need to be at the point where I can just pay someone just to follow me around, edit.
Yeah. But then at the same time, I'm not sure, because as you probably gathered, quite a chatty person, quite friendly, I like to think, but I'm also quite private. Like, I don't want someone in my house all the time, like filming me. I'm not really interested in divulging all the crap I ate for breakfast. Like,
your favorite,
I don't know,
biscuit.
Like, yeah, well, no, definitely. Yeah, that's all right every now and again. Is that market saturated yet? Have people had enough of watching triathlon videos? And then I'm like, actually, they clearly haven't, because I see other athletes starting them all the time, being like, oh, I've just set up, I'm doing a YouTube video now. And they take off and people love it. But I think unless you're paying someone to do it, you have got to be so tech savvy, so on it. You've got to be willing to spend all of your time editing. And some of them are brilliant. And I do watch some of them, not all of them, admittedly. I'm not, you know, I've got stuff to do, training mostly. 30 hours a week, guys. But yeah, I I think it's amazing the amount of time people put into it. But yeah, I am not in the YouTube world.
It would just be it's Millie, isn't it? Is it Millie?
No, Winnie. Winnie. Forget my own dog's name. I was like Millie. No, it's Winnie. It would, because I'm a bit like this with social media as well. I use social media, but I'm definitely not an oversharer. I don't even think most of the time, oh, I could put that online. You know, people put things, especially on their stories, just little things that are happening day to day, or even just like, oh, just like walking from their car to the pool. Here I am walking from my car to the pool, you know, like just stuff like that all the time. And I never even think about it. And even if I do, for example, I'll be out on the bike, I'll be like, oh, take a photo of that. I could put that on Instagram later. Forget about it. And honestly, my agent, he hates it because he's like, you're useless. You're absolutely useless. And I like to think I am a little bit better. And every now and again, if it's something important, I'm like, I will get that online. But I'm just not. I think maybe it's because I'm too old. I don't know.
Do you think, I was going to ask, actually, this was one thing which I had... sounds a bit weird in a way.
You thought I was too old, is that what you're saying?
No, because I'm older, so it's fine. Is it to do partly with the fact that as a funded athlete, you know, you don't necessarily need to promote that? Like, do you know what I mean? There's almost like that security. Because yeah. I remember Mark Austin said similar, that he didn't ever really do much because he just felt that he didn't need to. Whereas actually, if you speak to lots of long course athletes and you look through all of Instagram and everything, it's just like, wow, these people do not stop. And yeah. It just as an example, and this is not to shame Nikki, you've got like nearly 70 Instagram posts in lockdown. Vicky, 27.
So, I actually did 27. Bloody hell. That's,
yeah. Yep.
I love it.
That's loads. Is that including stories? Because that is a lot of Instagram posts.
No, that's not stories.
I think half of mine are Spider-Man, though.
Are you sure I've done 27? Hang on, I'm checking this right now. Honestly, my whole feed is 27, right? I'm not even joking. I'm checking this right now. I don't believe it's true.
So, like, from March, basically.
Yeah, okay. So that was a little failure there. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Did I get that wrong? Oh, yeah, I can't count. 13. Everyone knows this already. I can't count. So Nikki, right, well, we'll halve yours. You're probably done.
No, add mine on to Nikki's.
Yeah.
Because that seems about right. But to go to address your question, I do think there is something in that. Yes. We are the spoiled brats of triathlon in that we do have like this element of security. I have a salary that comes from triathlon and I've been really lucky that it hasn't been affected this year. That said, there are years where I don't get a salary from triathlon because you get means tested out of it. And in my opinion, the level that you get means tested out of it isn't actually especially high. So, for example, I had a good year in 2016, got means tested out of my funding. And in 2017, I was injured all year. And there's been multiple sort of things and multiple examples of that from other athletes who've had the same kind of situation. So it's like it's not a very stable income, but it is an income. And I do think that means that there is this feeling of I don't have to go that extra mile to sell myself. At the same time, sponsors love it more and more now, especially that social media, YouTube is big sort of news for sponsors. That's what they want you to be doing. And it is something that I've had to go, okay, I have to invest a bit more into that and I have to be a bit more on it with the social media. I mean, I remember when I first got Instagram, I think I made a post and didn't log in for another 3 months. So I am terrible for it, but I try to be better. And I do appreciate in the world we live in now, it's important. But I completely think you're right. There is an element, if you're a long course athlete, it's on you to make your living. And so you've got to keep up with it.
Nikki, do you think that's sort of fair? Because like you're always interacting with, I guess,
another way where I'm just like post, or like, stories, Instagrams. So I'm like, oh, I can't decide whether to do this or this. Instagram story, and then you get your answer.
but you're really good at interacting with other people. Really, really good. And
if you ever look at Nikki's posts underneath, there's like 100+ comments because you interact back with everybody who comments to you.
I think it's just something I'm passionate about. Like, it's just natural to me, if that makes sense. So, like, I can imagine it's really stressful if sponsors are like, I want you to do X, Y, Z on your social media. I'm like, well, that's not natural to me. then that's where if someone's discussing the contract and they're like, you have to put 4 main posts per month or an Instagram stories, I'm like, no, like that's too obvious that that's what a sponsor wants you to do. Yeah, they definitely know. Like, I'm been speaking to, well, just signed my Hoka contract, and he knew exactly how much my social media following has gone up percentage wise, percentages of, say, likes on posts. Marketing managers do know that kind of stuff. But also, like, for me and Vix, like, we didn't grow up with social media. Like, we didn't grow up with phones. Like, I got Facebook when I was at university, whereas kids now have it at school. I'm so glad I didn't have that. I would have hated it.
I completely agree. We were so lucky. Like, phones, I remember it was my brother's 14th birthday, and and he's 2 years older than me, and my parents got him a phone, and I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh my God, he's got a phone. One of those like Nokia brick jobs. And now they're like posing for Instagram photos with the correct filters and the correct light, wearing the correct clothing, having the correct makeup. I'm like, oh my God, I would have been so bullied as a kid. Like, I would not have fit that demographic at all. Like, not at all. And that's not because I was an outcast or anything like that. I had my little friendship group, but I wanted to do those swim at 5 a.m., swim again at 5:30 p.m., go running then, come home. Like, firstly, I wouldn't have had the time. And secondly, like, even now, I always joke about how I don't really know how to do makeup and I don't really know how to do my hair. Can't do a bloody plait, can I? I mean, I can do... No, that's not true. I can do a regular plait. Can't do French plaits. That's why I never wear them in races. Whenever I've had them done on me, my helmet doesn't fit. So I just don't bother.
Same. But, like, it must be so much pressure, just, like... And, like...
Yeah. I literally sound like I'm 90, don't I? But yeah.
That's also, fine. Like, the wording, I have to, because I'm really dyslexic as well, I have to read over what I write so much because I'm like, will this offend someone if I write this? Or, I don't know, if someone takes it out of context or something. I luckily haven't had any backlash on what I've done so far, but I guess as you grow as an athlete, that's only going to become, that is going to happen.
You can't please everyone. You literally can't please everyone. And that's something else that social media is quite brutal for. And I like to think I've got relatively thick skin, but at the same time, I don't like sharing things all the time because there's always someone who's got something nasty to say.
Yeah.
And I honestly just don't want to put myself up for that. Like, that's not why I do what I do. I'm not interested, thanks.
Quick question. Who would win a talking contest between the two of you?
Oh God, wow.
Nikki.
Really? I mean, people are going to be louder. Maybe my high pitch is that bit louder.
You're more high pitched than me. Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be quite tight, to be honest. We can talk, can't we, girl?
Athletics, like, just, and but it was quite good because at athletics you do like an hour warm up.
So long. You go through your warm up jog and it's like 25 minutes, and then you come back and you've got to do your stretching, and then you've got to do your drills,
and then my session would only be like 20, like nothing.
Like, right, I'm off for my 8K session now, and you'd be like, yes, I've got 450 meters in total.
Well, Vic, I'm probably doing more like your old school days. So I did 25 fours on the track last week and then 12 eights this week.
Well, it's funny, I actually run shorter track sessions now than I used to as a runner. So I never really go above 5 kilometers of track work. So in a session, there'll never be more than that. And it'll be faster, probably, than I used to do. Maybe just about faster, given I was a 1,500 metre runner. But yeah, probably just about faster. I very, very rarely run a rep that's over a K. Yeah, the actual distance of my sessions now on the track, yeah, it's probably up to about 5K, never really more than that. Whereas back in the day, it was like, 8K, sometimes more.
Doing about 8 to 10K at the moment, but usually my track sessions before Daytona prep would be around the 5-6K because that would be my speed work.
You need to get on the speed work again, Nick. Come on.
No, I feel like, it's good. It's where I'm at is the right place. I think because I've had all that speed work through lockdown, so that's what I've been doing.
Nikki, final words of wisdom, because we didn't get a golden nugget from you. We got a beautiful, beautiful thing from Vicky. So,
I got a go off the back of that now.
What is that?
Wait, let me Google search.
Motivational quote, go.
And then I'll try and read it, and because I'm so dyslexic, you'll be like, you're reading that.
You're Googling. Oh my God, I thought you were speaking a mic, but she's actually paused to Google.
I am actually not Googling. I thought you were going to ask me a question.
No, that's it. That's it. We want your
words of wisdom.
Oh, God.
Motivational.
I think just you've got to take opportunities and have goals for the next 4 weeks. Create, it doesn't matter how small those goals are, create some goals. Because winter, I really struggle in winter. Like, and I know I'm going to struggle this winter, not going away. But just creating really small goals for the next, even just every 4 weeks, creating goals. And yeah, bringing in what Vic said with patience and stuff, like we will get over this together. So it's just patience, and in results come from consistency. And the more you can be consistent now as an athlete and work on areas that you can work on at the moment, will create your greater results later on, whether that's 2021, 2022. Those races will come back. The timeline, we don't know. But races are starting to happen, and it's just putting it, the work you're putting in now will pay off eventually. I can see how much I've improved over the year, this year. But that's not because I've trained this year. It's because of all the years on top of each other are just helping this year. So don't sit back and wait. Definitely get on a goal and just focus on what you can do, but also keeping it fun and kind of connecting with the wider community, because we're all in this together. And although everyone's kind of going through the difficulties together, so just sharing it together.
I love it, honestly. And Nikki, you spent a lot of this year dressed as Superman. Are you doing a Christmas special? Spider-Man. Are you doing a Christmas special?
I think so, because I found this one. It's only $19.99 on Amazon.
Bargain.
I know. And I put it on a poll because I couldn't decide, so obviously I put it on poll on Instagram. And it was very successful, so I think people want to see. And you've got to like inflate it as well with batteries, so you just like go massive Santa Claus.
Oh my God.
And so you're going to be running around. Anyone lucky enough to live in the Loughborough area, watch out for Santa Claus, also known as Nikki Bartlett.
No, Nikki, if you're out for a run,
yeah,
and you know, nature calls, are you going to get out of your inflatable suit?
I am screwed. Luckily I've never needed the number two on a run, but yeah,
but there might be some number one in your suit.
I might have to get a couple. What, like, because I read the comments on Amazon, because I was like, am I running this suit? Because it's so big. Like, Spider-Man was perfect to run normally. I was really hot. Like, I can remember, because I sometimes do my 2-hour run in it.
And it was when we had a lot of nice weather as well.
I know. Like, there was points where I was so dehydrated at the end. I'd come home from a run and, like, you know, because I have gloves on them. And, like, I could wring the gloves. I'd be running and I could wring the glove sweat out.
So beautiful.
I know. People did comment that it can get sweaty in that Santa Claus costume.
Well, at least it's going into a cold period, so maybe it'll just keep you warm.
There we go. I didn't really sweat much on my run today, so I think it'll be great.
We look forward to it. Vicky and Nikki, it's been a hoot.
It's been brilliant. It's quite fun to group ones and banter off each other.
There you go. But thank you both so much. Vicky, well done on your making Team GB for a third time. Just incredible. And Nikki, good luck in Daytona as well.
No problem.
That is where I stopped the interview. And then we carried on talking for another hour. Not joking. So I'm afraid I didn't record that second hour, which you probably could have enjoyed as well. No, didn't record that bit, but we did get that first hour, and it was such a fun way to finish a bit of a grey week. Let's just call it that way, you know, sort of the lockdown week. And yeah, it's honestly, just get Nikki Bartlett and Vicky Holland on the phone and you'll soon. It's no longer a grey week. It's like a yellow week. It's like all fun and happy. Right, now this chatterbox thing links me nicely to the next bit. I promised Lucy Gossage, oncologist and multiple Ironman champion, who also loves to chat, that I would tell you all about your chance to do Norseman in 2021. If you heard the recent episode with Alan Hovder, you'll know he's won that race 3 times. And from what he was saying, it's just such a special event in Norway. So
your chance to do it. Team Zalaris. Now, let me explain. Zalaris is a Norwegian payroll and HR company. They sponsor the Norseman race. Their ethos is all about simplifying work life to achieve more by encouraging people to stay active and healthy. And they are also really passionate about two projects, Active Against Cancer in Norway and 5K Your Way in the UK. The reason they have partnered with both of those is to inspire customers and their partners and their workforce to choose a healthy and active lifestyle. So they are going to select four people to represent Team Zalaris at the race. You have until the 15th of December to apply, and what they want to see is that you are aligned with their ethos that I just spoke about, but also that you are committed to raise funds and to raise awareness of Active Mot Kreft and 5K Your Way. And you will know from the work that I do away from here, I work in cancer and exercise rehabilitation, and it is, I sometimes can't even sum it up, but it's the power of exercise and movement is just on another level. I really do sometimes struggle to put it into words, just the difference that exercise and movement can make to someone affected by cancer. So that is why they are all so passionate about what they are doing. And if you want to be part of that Team Zalaris, I have put links in the show notes. So sorry, that is a long explanation, but oh my goodness, get on it. What an opportunity and what an incredible ethos that they are backing and that they are encouraging everyone else to adopt as well. So yeah, head to the show notes, insidetryshow.com, and then you will find the recent episode, and then there in the show notes, scroll down and you will see links to Zalaris Norseman. Sound good? Okay, excellent.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Try Show. If you want to get in touch or get a little bit more information on anything, then reach out to Helen on Instagram or Twitter at Inside Try Show.
Thank you very much to Triathlon Vibe for including me in your list of top triathlon podcasts. That made me very, very happy. Keith, you've been out on your mountain bike. David says he's been baking and running. Georgie said her run was equally as muddy as mine the other day. I don't think I explained that one. I'm currently running it's like a horse riding loop, which is on our doorstep, and we're breaking it down into chunks, and then I hope to do the whole thing over a weekend in a couple of weeks. And yeah, part of it at the moment, or parts of it, are just disgusting, like knee deep in mud. Georgie, don't know, we could probably have a mud off. And then talking of cold water swimming, before lockdown, currently we are into lockdown number 2 in the UK, so the place where I had been doing my cold water swimming is obviously not happening. And then there is an alternative, which we have a little joke about. It's a bit like a glorified duck pond. I don't love it, but I figured if I want to keep up getting in that cold water, then that is the option at the moment. So yeah, we did go at the weekend, and I could not believe how many people were there. Everyone was socially distanced and it wasn't even arranged. But just for the fact that it's November and the water would have been definitely 10 or maybe just a bit below 10 degrees, there were probably about 20 people either in the water, waiting to get in the water, or having been in the water and drying off. It's November in the UK. This is mad. Pools are shut. That's what people do. So, yeah. And Lisa got in touch on that point. She said, I went in Salford Keys on New Year's Day a couple of years ago and it was utterly freezing. I definitely was along with every other neoprene item I could possibly wear. Gloves, boots, hat, etc. From memory, I think the air temperature was around about 2 degrees. I say it now, I'm just not sure I'd be doing 2 degrees, but hey, let's not rule anything out, all right? Let's not do that. Ellie, you say that you have been out on your bike with me as your companion. What? Anyway, you said you managed to listen to the Chrissy Wellington, Max Thorpe and Dave Scott episodes. And yeah, you couldn't imagine being in a boat like Max Thorpe, nor can I. Don't forget, I do want your tips to get through lockdown number two. Email me, helen@insidetryshow.com. Another question I have for you. How much nut butter is it acceptable to eat in a day? That is a genuine question. How much is acceptable? I'm addicted to the stuff. Maybe long-range fuel have heightened that addiction. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to join me, you can get 10% off with long-range fuel over at resilientnutrition.com. Use the code INSIDETRY10, all lowercase, or you can follow the link, which again is in the show notes. And if you are wanting a bit of motivation, something to get you through the next few weeks if the pools are shut where you are, then 6:45 yoga club is still going on. Email me helen@insidetryshow.com and I can send you details. It's over Zoom. It's just a lovely bunch of people and there is usually someone there at 6:45 Monday to Friday, and we follow Tim Sinesi on YouTube. So it's not a talk class, but it's a good bunch of people, and it was nice to have Grace along this week. I'm nearly done. But as ever, the lovely James at comfuel.co.uk will give you 20% off all sorts of different sports nutrition, water bottles, face masks, sweat tests, you name it. They've got it over at comfuel.co.uk. Just use the code INSIDETRY and you'll get 20% off. What's not to like? I think that's it from me. Keep me posted on what you're up to. Thanks, Nikki. Thanks, Vicky, for keeping us entertained. Stay safe, look after yourself, look after those around you, and we will speak again next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.